back on the Rob Dibble Show with Ben Darnell on your afternoon drive. Let's get into some British Open and Tiger Woods news. Cam Rogers, the authority on that because he has a Tiger Woods podcast on the Believe Network, and he's also a national golf contributor. And Cam Rogers joins us now on the Rob Dibble Show hotline. Cam, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Happy end of the major championship season, if you will. Six majors in all, technically, on this PGA Tour season. So it has been a super season for sure.
Certainly has. And Koepka and DeChambeau continue to have their feud. I've been watching it the last couple of days. Seems to be heating up. What do you know about those two? And are they enjoying this little time in the sun?
I'll tell you what, it's the gift that keeps on giving with these two, and it's more Brooks Koepka leaning into this than Bryson DeChambeau. You get the sense that Bryson sort of wants the new cycle to run its course with this, but sorry, Bryson, this is going to continue to have steam as reporters ask Brooks Koepka about this whole situation. It's interesting, Brooks sort of gave us some chronology, if you will, about how this all sort of started. So you got to go back to 2019 at Liberty National, where allegedly Brooks and Bryson had some sort of conversation in the locker room and sort of agreed, I guess, the Treaty of Versailles to not jab at each other publicly going forward. Bryson does not remember this conversation whatsoever, but according to Brooks, Bryson sort of ruined that agreement when Bryson went on Twitch and started making fun of Brooks' physique because of his cover photo that was on some magazine. And then Brooks was like, okay, game on, let's do this. And so ever since then, you've had some fumes kind of going a little bit, and then all of a sudden it just exploded with that leaked video. And so we sort of know the background now, but it is interesting to know that Brooks is really leaning into this hard. Like, he is not being diplomatic whatsoever. It is very clear he does not like Bryson DeChambeau.
It'd be great if they could be together on Sunday, or at least around the leaderboard together on Sunday, maybe not even playing with each other. But both are, you know, top picks. I think I'm looking at CBS's odds right now. Brooks Koepka at 16-1. Bryson DeChambeau, the second best odds at 14-1, right behind John Rahm. Bryson just switched his caddy. He went to his swing coach. What do you know about that? And how do you think that will play in this tournament that is very different from other tournaments?
Yeah, it's one of the more difficult tournaments to predict, the Open Championship, just because of the volatility of the leaderboard, the wind, the weather, the conditions, and obviously how sometimes it can cater to the older guard out there on the PGA Tour, a la Darren Clark from 2011, who was 42 years old. You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and Bryson DeChambeau is actually 35-1 now, which just goes to show that the public is not in on him. He's not getting a lot of buzz in terms of actually having a shot at winning the Open. So that's pretty good value. I mean, he's right there with Colin Morikawa, who's making his debut at the Open Championship. Here's the situation with the caddy. Obviously, Bryson and his previous caddy were longstanding together, but the caddy was having some knee issues, and it seemed like, you know, age was becoming a factor a little bit, and Bryson wanted to go more on the youthful side of things. But make no mistake, this is a tough job for a new caddy when you're talking about a major championship, especially when it's with Bryson DeChambeau, the ultimate technician on the PGA Tour. It's just another element that is going to make this an uphill climb for Bryson this week. Obviously, his resume at the Open is not very good. Just made the cut once in three appearances, and he was 51st. And honestly, going back to the U.S. Open in 2020, since that victory, he has really not been playing all that well. He has no top 10s at major championships. In fact, no top 25s at any major championships since that victory at Wingfoot. So Bryson is a guy who needs all the conditions to be right for Bryson, right? And we know that uneven lines don't work well with him. That's why he has struggled at Augusta National. And we're talking about Royal St. George's this week. That is a very uneven golf course. Even a perfect tee shot could end up being an uphill or downhill lie, or even worse. So Bryson's going to have a lot to contend with this week.
I think Rory McIlroy is about a 16-1 odds to win the British Open. How about some of the guys that normally play around there, normally know those tough golf courses and stuff? Who are some of the favorites that are from across the pond?
Yeah, well, I'll go with an American real quick in Brooks Koepka, only because he actually started his pro tour career on the European tour, right? So this is a guy who knows link-style golf very, very well. So I love Brooks Koepka this week to be a contender, along with McIlroy. Those guys are inside my top three this week. You know, going down the board a little bit, I think Lee Westwood could be a really interesting story. The Englishman, he's 47-1 to capture the claret jug this week. He's a guy who has the second most rounds played at the Open Championship in this field. So plenty of experience, number one. He knows the area like the back of his hand, number two. Actually was top five at Portrush back in 2019, where Shane Lowry won. And of course, that was the last Open Championship that was contested. So Westwood has shown some form this year as well. A couple of runners-up finishes earlier this year during the Florida swing. If he can figure it out this week, I think he can be a major factor. So watch out for him. I love Tommy Fleetwood as well, the Englishman too. He has a really good short game. He's got that grinded out mentality. He was runner up to Lowry in 2019 at Port Rush. Also has a nice top five at Shinnecock Hills at the 2018 US Open. So he plays well on these difficult conditions. Looking at just general link style experience, guys, I'm not getting too nitty and gritty with these statistics this week, which is what I usually do, but you got to be just more macro at the Open Championship because it's such a volatile tournament. Nobody saw Darren Clark coming in 2011, and nobody saw Ben Curtis coming at Royal St. George's back in 2003. So you really have to take an overarching approach this week.
Yeah, and this guy's following trends, and he hasn't played in a while, but last time I saw this guy play, he was in an eight-hole playoff and ended up winning the Travelers Championship. Harris English, he finished third in the U.S. Open, too, which is no easy course to play at. And, you know, the guy has not teed it up since that playoff round against Kramer Hickok. Gosh, that feels like a month ago now. So he's had some time off, but the last couple of times he's been playing, he's been on fire. And most, I play a lot of daily fantasy, Cam, and he's like less than $8,000 for DraftKings or FanDuel right now. Why doesn't he get a lot of respect in this tournament?
Yeah, he's really not a big-time name on the PGA Tour, despite being a multi-winner here this season. I mean, first of all, how about that Travelers Championship, number one? Just an incredible performance for Harris English, and really just a fantastic tournament overall. He was third at the U.S. Open, 14th at Palmetto. Yeah. I mean, he's really just a steady, solid golfer. And if you look at his Open Championship / major championship resume, pretty steady stuff. So he's a guy that just sort of flies under the radar. I'm playing daily fantasy this week as well. I'm certainly considering him in some of my lineup construction. Harris English should certainly make the cut and perhaps finish inside the top 15, something like that. Does he have legitimate win equity this week? I don't really know. We shall see. But for his chances to be, you know, on that second page of the leaderboard this week, I think that is pretty solidly in the realm of possibility. And that's really all you need when you're paying up for Harris English at $7,000 or whatever he is on DraftKings.
Talking to Cam Rogers from the Tiger Woods podcast on the Believe Network. I don't know if you saw this at that celebrity deal that Charles Barkley bet $100,000 on himself and lost by six places.
That's right.
You know, who is one of the better celebrity golfers that you think could ever really go out on the pro tour? Who is somebody that you've watched throughout some of these tours? I mean, it seems to be the same people that are winning a lot of these tournaments, Ernie De Gregorio or John Smoltz, Aaron Rodgers, Steph Curry. Who do you like?
Well, I really like Tony Romo. And Tony Romo once really tried to make a shot at making it onto the PGA Tour. Obviously, that's going to be an extremely uphill climb for him. I don't think that is ever going to happen. But he's an elite golfer. And, you know, it just makes me think as I'm talking about this, maybe we get Tony Romo involved with one of the matches coming up in the near future. I think that would be interesting. Yeah. Obviously, he has the TV chops now at CBS, so he can talk, he can chit-chat with the mic and what have you. But I think Tony Romo is a guy who perhaps one day could qualify for the U.S. Open if he really, really grinds and gives it a crack. But yeah, I mean, it really is usually the same names, right? John Smoltz and a couple other names that typically pop up there. Aaron Rodgers is a guy who played really well at the match four, by the way. So I enjoy that celebrity tournament. I think it's another fun ingredient to the golf season that really kind of takes the monotony out of every single PGA Tour event, because sometimes, let's face it, the John Deere Classic isn't all that exciting. So when you have something like this, it's fun to watch. But yeah, I think Tony Romo could give it a crack at some point, maybe make it onto the Korn Ferry Tour, something along those lines. In fact, I think he's played in a couple of those events, so I don't think he's ever made the cut, but he's a guy who I'm kind of looking at as somebody who can burst onto the scene, perhaps.
Cam, how does this tournament week go for you? I mean, you do more interviews than just us. You're all over the place. To be following you, by the way, on Twitter, at MrRogers99 on Twitter. Like, this thing, the first tee time's 1:35 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is all the way on the other side of the world. So, like, what's your schedule like? How do you cover this thing?
Yeah, this is obviously a wrinkle, because at the U.S. Open, we had primetime golf right out there in Torrey Pines, California, and boom, we're switching things up, and it's coffee golf with the Open Championship. I'm considering a 4 a.m. alarm tomorrow, guys. Whether I actually execute on that remains to be seen, but I'm going to try, and when you're motivated for the Open Championship, that makes it a whole lot easier. But luckily, no interviews before 7:30 Eastern time this week, so that's a good thing, and nothing too late either. So it's all good. I'm excited for it. This is just such a unique tournament, guys, entrenched in history. Fun fact for you, Sir Ian Fleming, the creator of James Bond, was famously a member at Royal St. George's, so you'll get those fun factoids throughout the week. But it should be a pretty standard week for me in terms of timing. I'm not getting up too early. I'm not going to torture myself or anything like that.
Give us some more fun facts about where this originated over there. And what is this, like the 172nd British Open? What's the number out there?
We're at 149.
149.
Yeah, the 150th will be at St. Andrews next year. I think that makes perfect sense to me, the home of golf, right? So when you have Royal St. George's, it's actually a really interesting situation, because a lot of golfers don't really hold it in high regard. Like, there is some controversy to this golf course, and particularly because you can get unlucky. And so you may have the best performance of your life and still get some bad bounces here and there and not win the British Open. It's that type of golf course. Again, Darren Clark, Ben Curtis, nobody saw these guys coming, right? They're like 500-1, 200-1 going into that particular week. So there is this element of unpredictability about Royal St. George's. It's a very difficult golf course, although three-time Open champion Gary Player called it the easiest course on the Open rotation. So, I mean, I guess when you win three of them, it's pretty easy no matter where you play. But if you look at the data, Royal St. George's is one of the toughest in the Open rotation just off of scoring average. 15th time hosting the Open as well. So it's rooted in history. I think it's going to be a really fantastic event. I know there's some COVID-y aspects to this week. The players have to be in their bubble, can't be out at the pub or the grocery store or anything like that. But, you know, it's only a week, so I think the guys will be fine. But as far as our TV viewing experience this week, I think it's going to be pretty much what we're used to.
Yeah, it's also the first English venue that ever played a championship outside of Scotland back in 1894, St. George's. So
Dibs.
Wanted to give you a little nugget. That's off the PGAtour.com. Not my nugget.
I thought you knew that, Rob.
No, but I love history.
Where's your money at, Cam? Where are you putting your money at this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going with Rory McIlroy to win it all, guys. I think he's got serious win equity. He's 22-1 on FanDuel. Before that miscut in 2019, his resume is beautiful. Second, fourth, fifth, and of course he won back in 2014 at Royal Liverpool. So I like that number. Jordan Spieth for a top 10. I think he's got serious win equity as well. Consistently gaining strokes with his driver, irons, and around the green. Has never missed a cut at the Open Championship, so love that play a lot. Somebody who can be sneaky this week, Ricky Fowler, three cuts made in his last four appearances on the PGA Tour, seeing a bit of a resurgence with his putter and iron game, and honestly, not too far removed from that T8 at Kiawah Island for the PGA Championship. So something is coming along nicely for Ricky Fowler. I've got him down for a top 30, but would not talk you out of a top 20 or even a top 10 finish for this guy. He's been there. He's done that at major championships. And then I'll give you a bit of a missed cut prop, if you will. I have Bryson DeChambeau and Victor Hovland both missing the cut this week.
Wow, that's bold.
Talk about Bryson. Yeah, it's juicy. We'll see what happens. We talked about Bryson earlier.
Yep.
Victor Hovland is making his Open debut, guys, and it takes some time to understand links-style golf. I would not be surprised to see Hovland miss the cut. He has a tendency for those big numbers. If he finds a couple of potholes, a couple of sand bunkers, if you will, he could be in some trouble. So a couple of miscut props for you guys right there as well.
Kind of sad, too. Bubba Watson not able to get over there because of the COVID protocol. Yeah, also, I was reading up on this, Cam, that the British Open people, they're very strict with their protocols. You'll be disqualified if you break any of their protocols. Can you talk about that a little bit? It's not the U.S. We're out of country now.
Right. This is all about the UK, guys. This is not the RNA, which is the governing body of the Open Championship. This is all governmental. And by the way, all of these restrictions would be out the wayside if the Open was a week from today because they're loosening things. So honestly, this is like the worst timing ever. So yeah, I mean, they're going to be clamping down. I mean, honestly, when you look at your daily fantasy lineups this week, you could have some volatility if somebody tests positive or somebody does the wrong thing, goes to the grocery store. I mean, honestly, you can only stay at your hotel or be at an off-course place with just three other people. I mean, a lot of the family members for these players are not out there. A lot of the TV folks for Golf Channel and NBC are not out there. They have to be on stateside because of these restrictions. It's unfortunate, but you know what? Thankfully, it's going to be the last time, the only time that we have to deal with this for the Open Championship.
Well, the reason I brought it up is Brooks Koepka could not bring his chef over. And he's like my caddy, his physiologist or whatever, and his fiance or whatever. They're all there, but they're all belly aching because someone else is going to have to do the cooking, not his regular favorite chef.
Brooks, come on.
I know. He could probably get someone in there.
Cam, what did you think of the guy that tried to take Rory's club a couple of weeks ago in that Scotland tournament? That was bizarre.
It was so impressive, I guess, is maybe not the best word, because he was so casual about it. And so, I mean, if you're sprinting to the bag and then grabbing the club, that's when it's obvious. But he, like, sort of just strolled and grabbed it. And it's like, dude, what exactly are you going for here? So I really didn't understand it all. I mean, he wasn't delivering any message. I think maybe he lost a bet or something. But, yeah, it was a very bizarre situation. Maybe we have that this week. I doubt it, considering security will be a lot tighter as compared to the Scottish Open. But yeah, that was something. All right.
Cam, as always, my friend, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. Enjoy the Open Championship, and we will talk to you in a few weeks.
Appreciate you guys. Enjoy the week.